بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته إمام حسين عليه السلام says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ilahi, أغنني بتدبيرك لي عن تدبيري وباختيارك عن اختياري. My Lord, please make me free from need for planning for myself by you planning for me. So instead of me struggling to find out what is the best plan for me, you please take over and you plan for me. وَبِاخْتِيَارِكَ أَنْ اِخْتِيَارِ Whenever I have to choose between two options, you choose on my behalf. This is a sign of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, it's a sign of cleverness. Sometimes people think that if someone is a servant of Allah, it's a sign of not being clever, which is not the case. Indeed, it's quite opposite. Those who are clever, they know that the best thing is to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to submit their affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how can we compare our knowledge to Him? How can we compare our understanding to Him? We cannot understand things. The best thing is to ask Allah to plan on our behalf. This is a very important thing in our personal and community life. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't find the balanced position. Sometimes we see that people think that we should not try to plan for future. We should leave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will plan for us, in the sense that they become, unfortunately, careless about planning, about management. This is not acceptable. We have to be far-sighted. We have to think about future. We have to plan for future. Islamically, this is very important. Even if you look at the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find that he was very much thinking ahead and planning for future. Even for the things that maybe for ordinary people were not that significant, he had planned. There is a famous hadith which says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His servant when He is doing something to make it as perfect as possible. If you want to make a house, if you want to make a mosque, if you want to, I don't know, plan a holiday or a camp or youth activity, whatever, you should do your best in planning. Even when Rasulullah was burying one of his companions, he was so careful and so perfectionist in burial that some people said, Rasulullah, he is not going to live here, he is not going, you know, to welcome guests there. This is just a grave. Rasulullah said, no, Allah loves that his servant, when he does something, does it properly. Imagine if we had learned this lesson from Rasulullah, non-Muslim community, Muslim ummah must be ahead of every other nation in planning for future. Unfortunately, we don't make planning. Sometimes we say, let's trust Allah. This is a wrong understanding of tawakkul. You must plan and then trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must make sure that everything is taken into account, but because our knowledge is limited, we cannot foresee all the problems. So we say, oh Allah, please look at me. I have done my best. I cannot do anything better than this. So please you come and look after the rest. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when you read the history of Karbala, you see that he didn't say, okay, we are going to be killed, so let things happen in chaos. He planned for everything. Even on the day of Ashura, although he had only some 70 soldiers. What can you do with some 70 in front of thousands of people? But still, he organized his army. Who would be responsible for the maimana, for the right side, for the left side, carrying the standard? He very much was careful about the tents. Even he went outside to check everything the night before. Even he asked to remove the those bushes which were, you know, possible to annoy the children. Everything he planned. We cannot, as servants of Allah, forget planning. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Khutbah Muttaqin says something very important. I sometimes say this must be put in a very beautiful frame, and in every Shia mosque, every Shia community center, we must have this sentence. Because I think if you have what Imam Ali says in this short sentence, you will see that our community will rapidly improve and grow. Imam says, فَمِنْ عَلَامَةِ أَحَدِهِمْ. Among the signs of the muttaqin is أَنَّكَ تَرَى لَهُ قُوَّةً فِي دِينِ. He is very strong in his iman. Very strong. If all people of the world turn against him, he doesn't lose his iman. As Imam said to Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya, تَزُولُ الْجِبَالُ وَلَا تَزُولُ. If all the mountains collapse, you must remain intact. It's not a matter of majority or minority. When you are on the right side, don't worry about how many people are against you. لَا تَسْتَوْهِشُوا فِي طَرِيقِ الْهُدَى لِقِلَّةِ أَحْلِهِ. If you are on the right track, and you see that there are not that many people, so you shouldn't say, okay, so let me choose a wrong track because there are many people on that one. When you know that this is the right road, don't bother about how many people are there. You have to be strong. Okay. Qubbatan fi din. Second, wahazman. A mu'min must be farsighted. Not only we should have plans for our situation now, we should have plans for another 50 years, another 100 years. There are many things that you can only do it when the previous generation have been planning. There are many things that you can do now for the next generation. If you leave it for them, by the time they realize and they want to do it, they would not be able to do anything. For example, we are in need of a very large center with all the facilities, a school, nursery, elderly house, place for meeting, conference center, everything. If we leave it for the next generation, they will never find such a land. They have to go tens of miles away from where people live. But if we plan, okay, we say we purchase the land, they will inshallah come and build it. We have to plan. Every generation must do something for the future. So not only we should be meeting the need of today, we should also help the next generation to meet their own need. Now that you have been established, you have alhamdulillah experience here, we have qualified people, we can do many things. If we wait for the children to come to that stage and learn and try to plan, it may be too late. Time would be against us. So a mu'min, in addition to having a strong iman, is far-sighted, hazman, and third, feeling. But at the same time, he is soft. He is lenient. He's a gentleman. He's not a harsh person. He's not a hard-hearted person. Having these three together makes miracles. Be a strong in iman, but at the same time a soft person. If I am a strong in iman, doesn't mean that I have to be angry. I have to shout at people. Some people think that if they are strong, they must, you know, fight with everyone. They must be angry all the time. No one sees them smiling. No, this is wrong. A strong mu'min is very humble, very soft. You can be as strong as mountain, but as soft as water. Hadith says a mu'min is like a water. You can put water in every container. It takes the shape of the container, but it remains as it is. So if you have, for example, I don't know, 1 liter of water, you can put it in every container and it remains 1 liter. But if there is wood or a stone, says, I don't go into this container. So they break you into pieces and force you to go there. But then you lose. A mu'min is flexible enough to adjust himself to different conditions, but at the same time remains intact. This flexibility is very important. Along with that strength. So you have principles, but at the same time you are flexible. And you are far-sighted. Imagine if we were only practicing these three things. A strong in iman, not being affected by anyone who wants to take away our iman. At the same time to be far-sighted, to plan for future, and be very nice, gentle people. Such community can make progress without any hesitation, without any problem. And everyone will support you. Because they know that you are people who have principles. You are the people who are honest and you don't want to make trouble for anyone. When there is need for leniency, you are. When there is a need for flexibility, you have flexibility. But they know that you have principles. And they cannot play with you over those principles. It's much better to deal with a person who has principles than dealing with the people who have no principle in their life. Because if someone has no principle in his life, every day you wonder what he's going to do. Every day you are expecting something new happen from this person. But if this person has a principle, then you learn how to deal with him. So, to be mu'min requires to be far-sighted, to plan. Look at the story of Prophet Yusuf, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa sallam. He was a prophet, but at the same time, he planned. He didn't say, because I am a prophet, so when Allah puts me in this position, being in charge of the treasures of Egypt, then everything will be sorted out automatically. He planned. For 7 years, you have to grow lots of wheat and crops, and then how to restore it, how to preserve it, how to buy from people the extra. Everything was planned. Then for the next 7 years, we have to use it in a very economical way, not excessively. He planned everything. We cannot say, let's trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not trusting Allah. This is laziness. Once Ayatollah Shah Abadi rahmatullah alayh, who was a teacher, one of the teachers of Imam Khomeini, he saw there is a nail coming out of a piece of wood on the wall or a chair, I don't know. So there was a nail, you know, coming out. So he said, one of his students, bring a hammer and fix it. Because people, when, you know, want to pass by this, maybe their dress would be taken by this. So after some time, he saw the student didn't go bring hammer. So why you didn't go to bring hammer? He said, we should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people are supposed to be hurt by this, they will be hurt anyway. If they are not supposed to be hurt by this, they will not be hurt. Why we should bring hammer and fix it? So he said something that I cannot translate. It would be perhaps rude. But he wanted to give him very strong message. So to make it very polite, he said, because of your laziness, you have become muwahhid. Because you don't want to take responsibility, now you say, Allah is in charge of everything. If He wants, He will save. If He doesn't want, we will be hurt. This is not the way that we are supposed to act. You have to fix the things properly and then trust Allah. So a mu'min is the one who studies, who makes consultation, who takes advice from the experts, who plans ahead of time. But at the end he knows whatever we do would be limited. We don't have all the knowledge, we don't have all the information. Therefore, we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take over our efforts. Not because we are lazy. We are not lazy. Not because we are stupid. No, we are very clever, very intelligent. We are very hard-working people. But still we want Allah to take over because He knows much better than we know. But Allah is Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the guardian of the believers, not guardian of the lazy people. Mu'mineen who are strong, who work hard, who plan, Allah takes over their efforts. Those who are lazy and, you know, they don't want to take responsibility, Allah says, okay, I leave you with yourself. And this is why you see, for many centuries, Muslims have been kept behind. Rasulullah started a big movement, scientific movement, cultural movement. Muslim civilization boomed. Many things were taught by Muslims to the West, to the Europeans. But unfortunately, when Muslims became lazy, then you see that we lost that pace. So now for even little things, Muslims need to either borrow or to learn from others. We don't have any problem in learning from others, but why we don't become ourselves teachers? Why we don't ourselves become advanced? So to plan is necessary, but at the same time to submit our efforts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also necessary. So Imam Hussein says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ilahi, أغنني بتدبيرك عن تدبيري. Please, you take over planning for my affairs so that my planning would not be alone, would not be without your help and support. Because my planning is not enough. We need your planning. There is a beautiful verse in the Quran about the people who submit their affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ فَبَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ. The believers in the time of Pharaoh, when they were challenged with lots of difficulties, they said, we submit our affairs. I submit my affairs to Allah. Allah is seeing, is aware of the condition of His servants. If you really, honestly submit your affairs to Allah, then what happens? فَذَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. Then Allah protects you from the bad plans, from the plots of the enemies. Those things that you don't know. So in your calculations, you don't take them into account. You take into account what you know. But when you submit your affairs to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you by protecting you against the plots that you don't know. فَبَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. This is very important. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, explaining the condition of a servant of Allah with respect to this issue of tadbir, planning, says in Dua Abu Hamza, أنت الفاعل لما تشاء. You are the one who does whatever he wants. Of course, Allah's decision is not arbitrary. Allah is not like a tyrant ruler that does things in vain. Says, you are a good person, I want to punish you. That's a bad person, I want to reward. No, Allah doesn't do like that. But when Allah makes a decision based on the criteria that He has, no one can question. No one can stop Him. أنت الفاعل لما تشاء. Whatever you want, you can manage to do it. تعذب من تشاء بما تشاء كيف تشاء. If someone is a bad person and Allah decides to punish him, no one can stop Allah. No one can say, okay, you punish him in this way, not that way. You punish him this many times or that many times. تُعَذِّبُ مَنْ تَشَىٰ. You punish the one that you want. بِمَا تَشَىٰ. With what you want. كَيْفَ تَشَىٰ. In the way that you want. On the other hand, if Allah wants to help you and have mercy on you, تَرْحَمُ مَنْ تَشَىٰ. بِمَا تَشَىٰ. كَيْفَ تَشَىٰ. You can have mercy on everyone that you like, in the way that you like, as much as you like. So, he is so powerful, so capable. So now, it's a great failure if we don't ask him to be our wali, to be our guardian. Someone who has such a power, and who is ready. He says, I am ready to take over. So, if we are not clever, we say, I don't need Allah's support, I will do it myself. This is a big mistake. Bani Israel, when they were faced with lots of challenges, those who were really good mu'min, they said something very beautiful in the Quran. They said, وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Why we shouldn't trust Allah? What is there to stop us trusting Allah? وَقَدْ هَدَانَا سُبُلَنَا. So far He has guided us. Why now we should not trust Him more? وَلَنَصْبِرَنَّ عَلَى مَا آذَيْتُمُونَا. We will be patient with all the troubles that you are making for us. But we remain trusting Him and He will find a way out for us. وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نَتَوَكَّلَ. Why we shouldn't trust Allah? Then Imam Zain al-Abidin says, لا تسأل عن فعلك ولا تنازع في ملكك ولا تشارك في أمرك ولا تضاد في حكمك ولا يعترض عليك أحد في تدبيرك. No one can question you. No one can have conflict with you in your kingdom. No one can be claiming that he has a role, he's your partner. No one can protest. You have the absolute authority. And you know, sometimes just think about this. Unfortunately, sometimes we take things for granted. Imagine if you were not a believer in God and you believe that this world is created by chance. How difficult then would be for us to cope with the problems? If there is no one like God who has control and at the same time He's loving us and merciful, then imagine you are in such a world which has no control, no source of love and mercy. Everything happens by chance. It makes you really stressed. If you are traveling to a country that there is no government, no system, then you feel always that I'm not safe. Why people who are not religious, they have lots of, you know, depressions. Even sometimes they commit suicide, they take drugs. Why? Me and you don't understand their condition. Because they see the world in chaos. They see the world without anyone on top to help. Anyone that you can trust. Anyone who is not indifferent to the suffering of good people. They don't have such understanding of God. So they cannot cope with the challenges. Or if you were like people who believe that there is God for good things, but there is also devil, and the world is divided, again you would have lots of stress. Who is going to win? God is going to win or devil is going to win? But you know, we are at peace. Because we know that everything is in His hand. And He loves us more than what our parents love us. He loves us much more than love of Ya'qub for Yusuf. How many parents love their children like Ya'qub? Hardly you find among normal people someone like Ya'qub. Because I don't know if you have heard any person in your family or your contacts that when he lost his child, he became blind. Although people love their children, but no one like loves like Ya'qub. His love for Yusuf was very special. And when he just was given the shirt of Yusuf, the fragrance of Yusuf changed him again. He was healed by the fragrance of Yusuf. This is the love of Ya'qub for Yusuf. But the love of Allah for us is tens of times. And I'm saying tens of times because this is the way we speak, otherwise there is no limit. Tens of times more than the love of Ya'qub for Yusuf. So how relaxed I am in this world. I know that no matter whether Pharaoh is in front of me or Namrud or Abu Sufyan or Hitler or Saddam, they are just like toys, even less than toys for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot do anything if Allah is with me. If I sort out my relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, I don't bother about anything else. This is why Imam Hussein in the same dua says, O Allah, the one who has found you, what does he miss? What does he lack? And the one who has lost you, what does he have? If I have Allah and I am really certain that Allah is with me, what else I need? When Imam Hussein knows that Allah is pleased with him, he feels no weakness. But if a time comes, may Allah doesn't let this happen to anyone, if a time comes that you feel Allah no longer loves you because of the bad things that you have done, Allah has ignored you, then what is the benefit of having such a life? If I have money, houses, employees, lots of people, but Allah is not loving me, what I have? I cannot pray to Allah, I cannot speak to Allah, I cannot taste the sweetness of talking to Allah. What is the benefit of life? So a mu'min is the one who does things properly. When it comes to studying, consultation, planning, management, they are the best. But at the same time, they submit all the affairs to Allah to make it really best. Because without consulting Allah, without asking for help of Allah, your planning has a kind of gap. It's not perfect. So this is very important that we as children, we must learn. This is something that we have to teach our children. From the time they start understanding things, they must learn how to think, how to plan, how to organize things, but at the same time, being always remembering Allah, always asking Allah for help. If our children learn this together, they would be the most successful people. If we don't teach them this, our condition will day by day becomes worse. Elahi aghnani bitadbirika li an tadbiri wa biikhtiyarika an ikhtiyari. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam when he was asked by Inwan al-Basri, what is the reality of ubudiyya? Ma haqiqatul ubudiyya? Imam said, thalathatu ashya. There are three things that are needed to be a good servant. Allah yara al-abdu linafsihi fima khabbalahu Allah milka. The first requirement is that the servant of Allah, when he looks at what Allah has given him, he doesn't think that this is my possession, this is my property. He knows that this is for Allah, and Allah has given him this as a trust. It's not mine as such. It's not my property. If it was my property, then I should have it all the time. No one should be able to take it away from me. The fact that you didn't have it and you are going to lose it shows that this is not yours. It comes from outside. A servant is the one that who knows whatever he has belongs to his master. Those who work in, for example, banks, as clerk, for example, they work in the bank. If, for example, hundreds of thousands of pounds come into their hands, They give people, they receive, you know, notes, they give. They transfer. They shouldn't think that this is their money. So they are very rich. This is not their money. This is the people's money and bank's money. You are just their employee. A servant is the one who doesn't find himself owner of what Allah has given him. نَأَنَّ الْعَبِيدُ لَا يَكُونُ لَهُمْ مِلْكٌ. A servant doesn't have any ownership. يَرَوْنَ الْمَالَ مَالَ اللَّهِ يَذَعُونَهُ حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. They believe that whatever they possess belongs to Allah and they spend it in the way that Allah wants. Allah tells me, do it in this way, I do it in this way. Allah says, I love you to spend on your family. So I spend on my family. But not excessively. Allah says, you have to help the poor. I do it. Unfortunately, sometimes, even when we give our money for good reasons, we think that this is my money that I am giving. And we think that Allah is in debt to me. Allah has to thank me. This is not your money or my money. This is Allah's money. We are not doing anything other than putting where Allah wants the money to be spent. The second sign of abd. وَلَا يُدَبِّرُ الْعَبْدُ لِنَفْسِهِ تَدْبِيرًا. He doesn't make any plan for himself independent from Allah's plan for him. He knows that everything must be according to the plan that Allah has for him. What Allah wants from me, I have to do that. It is said that when they used to have slaves, you know, there was slavery, and in Islam, slavery finished very soon because Islam encouraged people to free slaves and also banned taking free people as slaves. Anyway, when there was slavery, what they used to have was some markets for selling and purchasing. Like Prophet Yusuf, they took him to a market and sold him. وَشَرَوْهُ بِسَّمَنٍ بَخْسْ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ. They sold the Prophet of Allah with few dirhams. So, one person went to buy a slave. You know, when you buy a slave, you have to be very careful because some of them are troublemakers, some of them are useless, some of them eat too much, they don't do anything. So they have to be careful. So this person had bad experience, so he wanted to be very careful. So he found a slave. Asked him, what is your name? He said, whatever you call me. My name is what you call me. I don't have any identity of myself. What do you eat? Whatever you give me. If you give me rice, bread, curry, or nothing, that's up to you. How much do you eat? As much as you give me. How much do you sleep? As much as you let me. If you want me not to sleep and die, I don't sleep till I die. Whatever you want for me. So he said, this is the best slave. I want to buy this one, no matter what is the price. Because this is the person who has understood that he is not master, he is slave. If we understand that we are not going to be master in front of Allah, we are going to be servant of Allah, then there is no value for you. And you would not be then servants of other people when they offer you money or position. Because you say, I am servant of Allah and my value is much more than you can afford. You cannot afford to buy me. I am very exceptional because I am servant of Allah. It's only Allah who can afford to buy me. The hadith says, أَلَا وَإِنَّ ثَمَنَ أَبْدَانِكُمْ الْجَنَّةِ. Beware, the price of your body, just your body, the value of your body is heaven. Don't sell it cheaper. What is the price of your soul, your spirit? Closeness to Allah. Rizwanullah. So when you have such a value, you should not sell yourself cheap. No one has enough to buy you. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam alayhi salam says, a servant of Allah doesn't feel that his money is belonging to him and his property. He doesn't plan for himself independent from Allah. وَجُمْلَةُ اشْتِغَالِهِ فِي مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ وَنَهَا عَنْ. His focus, his attention is only to do what Allah wants. He's very careful. Imagine, you know, when you go to Hajj and you are muhram, how you careful you are. No, when you are muhram, you are very careful. Not to look at mirror, not to, you know, take a piece of hair, not to shout, not to annoy anyone. When you are muhram, it's very, you know, difficult. Because you have to be very alert. And sometimes people want to finish ihram as soon as possible. That condition is a beautiful experience. That you are very sure, very determined not to do anything wrong. But unfortunately, that condition doesn't last that much. It's just for a few hours. And unfortunately, our alertness is just because we don't want to pay kafara. It's not that we don't want to displease Allah. Sometimes even people, you know, think that it's just a matter of kafara. You tell them this is what you have not to do. Say, I will pay kafara. Okay, you pay kafara, but you have committed a sin. Kafara doesn't solve all the problems. So, you must be in the state of ihram. You don't do anything unless you know that this is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you learn why Allah asked you to do things like this, you don't feel any pain. This alertness becomes very nice for you. For example, all of you are careful about not having accidents. When you drive, when you walk on the street, when you cross the road, you are very careful not to have accidents. You are very alert. Okay, this is what Allah asked you. Allah asked you to be alert and safeguard your health. Do you feel any pain? You don't say, because this is what Allah has asked me, so it has become very difficult for me. No, because you understand why Allah has asked you to look after your health, you don't feel any pain. Anything else that Allah asks you to do is like this. He wants your interest. And He says you have to be 100% alert not to do anything which harms you. Nothing to harm your body, nothing to harm your soul. Nothing to harm your happiness in this world, nothing to harm your happiness in the hereafter. There is no pain if we understand. Because if we don't understand, there is a pain. A child who wants to watch TV, if you say, you know, tomorrow you have exam, please study, it's very painful. He cries, you know, why you are so, you know, merciless with me. He doesn't understand. But if he understands that you have prepared everything for him, you have sent him to best school, you know, provided him with everything, and now you are creating a quiet atmosphere at home for him to study, he would not complain. He would say, thank you. This is what I need. This is for my interest. So, a servant of Allah puts his attention on whatever Allah has asked him to do. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, if... if he observes these three things, if he doesn't believe that his money is possessed by him, it's his property, then infaq would be easy for him. Spending money for charity would be easy for him. If he submits his affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all the calamities of dunya would be easy for him. Because he knows that he has done his best and the rest is in the hand of Allah and he plans for him. If a problem happens for me, he can compensate. And if he pays his attention to what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would not have time to spend on fighting people or, for example, being proud, being arrogant. He says, I don't have any time, sorry. My time is only to be spent on my main thing, and that is my relation with Allah. One of the ulama said that once I was studying some books to write tafsir. A person who was passing by hit my head, you know, maybe he was a friend or whatever, he hit my head. I didn't pay any attention. Another friend said, why you don't, you know, say anything, don't react? He said, because I'm doing tafsir, I don't have time to spend fighting back. I have something to finish. A mu'min has focus in his life, shouldn't be distracted. If people, you know, want to create trouble for me, I don't have time to spend on fighting back. Yes, if they want to stop me, then I have to do something to push them away. Otherwise, I don't be distracted by anyone or by anything. لَا يَتَفَرَّغُ مِنْهُمَا إِلَّا الْمِرَاءُ وَالْمُضَاحَةُ مَعَ النَّاسِ. And then if he achieves these three things, حَانَ عَلَيْهِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْإِبْلِيسُ وَخَلْقُ. Then neither dunya can attract him, nor Iblis, shaitan, can deceive him, nor people can trouble him. Such a person becomes immune. He is in protection. Because shaitan and dunya and people cannot do anything unless you surrender, unless you give in. If you are only busy with Allah, they cannot do anything. So everything becomes easy for such a person. This is why you see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they were not really feeling that much pain, that why, you know, we are losing our life, why, you know, there are so many thousands of people against us. They had focused on the pleasure of Allah by obeying their imam, being loyal to their imam. Nothing mattered for them. Even according to some books, in the night before Ashura, some of them were joking. Like Burair, he was joking. Some people say, why you joke? He said, everyone knows I am not a person who does, you know, things like this in normal life. But tonight is the night that I am very happy. Because soon I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Soon I'm going to be martyred for the sake of Allah. Habib ibn Mazahir was seen also smiling and being happy. Because they have very clearly understood that the only thing that matters for us is the pleasure of Allah. Everything else can be sorted out. But if na'udhu billah, we don't have the pleasure of Allah, nothing would be beneficial. You know that in this night, the enemies wanted to finish everything. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who was sitting outside the tents, had a very short nap. And according to some narrations, Lady Zainab, according to some, Hazrat Abbas went to Imam Hussein and said, enemies are coming. So Imam said in a very kind language to Hazrat Abbas, Benafsi ant, may I be your ransom? Look at Imam's love. He says to Hazrat Abbas, Benafsi ant, O Abbas, may I be your ransom? Go and see why they are coming. So Hazrat Abbas with 20 people went to speak to them, and they said, our Amir, our commander, has asked us to stop the fight unless you surrender. So he said, wait, I go back to my master, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and see what he says. The remaining people stayed there. They had conversation and tried to argue with them, perhaps change their mind. He quickly went back to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said that this is the plan. They want to start right now. Then Imam alayhi salam said something very special. He said, this is something that we have to remember. He said, "Erji' ilayhim." Exactly what is in the historical text. "Erji' ilayhim." O Abbas, go back to them. "فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تُؤَخِّرَهُمْ إِلَى غَدَاتْ وَتَدْفَعَهُمْ إِنْ دَلْعَشِيَةِ." If you can manage to convince them so that they don't attack us tonight and wait till tomorrow. Why? This is important. Why Imam doesn't want to start the fight now? Is he worried about his life? No. He knows that at the end everything is going to happen as happened. Even he doesn't say, for example, because it's difficult for people, for children. No, he has something very special. He says, لَعَلَّنَا نُصَلِّي لِرَبِّنَا اللَّيْلَةِ. Because I want to have one more night to pray, to say Salatul Layl. Not only Salatul Wajib. Salatul Wajib is already done. Salatul Layl. Hussein, who is Imam, who is Sayyida Shabab Ahl al-Jannah, who is going to be killed for the sake of Allah with so much sacrifice, he is feeling great need for another Salatul Layl. لَعَلَّنَا نُصَلِّي لِرَبِّنَا اللَّيْلَةِ وَنَدْعُوهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ. We want to ask forgiveness. Hussein doesn't feel that he has done enough for Allah. He feels that whatever he has done is not enough. He has to ask forgiveness. Because whatever we do would not match the greatness of Allah. If you have a very special guest, you try to make everything as good as suits the level of that guest. If a friend is coming, you try to be very, you know, organized, have good food, everything nice, tidy. If your boss is coming, if there, for example, I don't know, a great alim is coming, if a marja is coming, if you are told that Imam Zaman is coming to your house, what would you do? You say, maybe even I have to change my house. Because this house is not the house in which I can welcome my Imam. The house in which I have committed sins, how can I welcome Imam in this house? I have to change the house. And if you want to welcome Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, I cannot, I should ask forgiveness. Oh Allah, if I spend my life in preparation, it's not enough. Imam Hussein said, I want to ask forgiveness from Allah. Because what he has given me compared to what I have done for him is much greater. فَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ. Then Imam says, Allah knows. أَنِّي قَدْ كُنْتُ أُحُبُّ السَّلَاةَ لَهُ. Allah knows that Hussein has always loved to say Salat. قَدْ كُنْتُ أُحِبُّ means this is my quality all the time. وَتِلَاوَةَ كِتَابِهِ
In such a night he wants to open Mus'haf and read Qur'an. How much, you know, focus he must have, how much concentration he must have, that despite all the difficulties he wants to open the Qur'an and say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Yasin wal Qur'an al Hakim. How much you must love Allah and His Word that you want to spend night in this. وَكَسْرَةِ الدُّعَاءِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. I want to do as much as dua as possible, as much as istighfar as possible. In any case, Hazrat Abbas went back and managed to convince them. Some of them said, we don't want to give them permission, but some of them said, even if people from Daylam, even, you know, people who are not very close to us, if they had asked us for permission, we should have given them permission. What about the family of the Prophet? So finally they decided to give permission. And you know that Imam Hussein alayhi salam in that night had meeting with the people and told them that there would be no chance of victory, there would be no chance of remaining even alive for the people who take part, and there is no obligation, no bay'ah. Everyone said, I want to stay. Because these are the people who are filtered, these are the people who are picked up. Everyone who had some impurity has left. Only the most purest people remain with Imam. This poem is about this night. And this is the end of my talk. And I'm sorry that tonight I spoke longer.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah.
If one of our salams is accepted and answered by Imam Hussein, it would be enough for us.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقي وبغي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الوعد مني لزيارتكم. May this not be our last chance to say our salam to Hussein. May this Muharram not be the last Muharram to mourn for Hussein. As-salamu ala al-Hussein wa ala Ali ibn al-Hussein wa ala وعلى صعب الوسائل امشب شهادت نامي الشاق امزامي شباب. Tonight the certificates of martyrdom will be signed for the lovers of Allah. Fardaz khun aashiqan in dasht darya mi shabar. But tomorrow from the blood of these lovers of Allah, this plain will become a sea of blood. امشب کنار یک دگر بنشست آل مصطفی Tonight members of the family of Prophet are sitting together looking at each other. Lady Zainab looking at Imam Hussein, the mother of Ali Akbar looking at Ali Akbar. Farda parishan jam'eshan chun qalb zahra mi shabad. But tomorrow they will be separated from each other like the heart of Lady Zahra which will be broken into pieces. امشب بود برپا اگر این خیمه سار اللهی. Tonight the tent of Imam Hussein is standing. فردا به دست دشمنان برکنده از جا می شود. But tomorrow they will remove the tent, they will burn the tent. امشب صدای خواندن قرآن به گوش آید. ولی tonight you hear everyone is reciting the Quran. فردا صدای الامان زندش برپا می شود. But tomorrow you will hear the cry of the children asking for help. امشب کنار مادرش لب تشنه اصغر خفته است. Tonight Ali Asghar is sleeping next to his mother while he is thirsty. فردا خدایا بسترش آغوش صحرا می شود. But tomorrow Ali Asghar's bed would be this desert. امشب به خیل تشنگان عباس باشد پاسبان. Tonight Hazrat Abbas is protecting the thirsty people. If they don't have water, at least they have safety under protection of Abbas. فردا کنار القمه بی دست سقا می شود. But tomorrow next to القمه حضرت عباس will lose his hand. امشب که قاسم زینت گلزار آل مصطفی است. Tonight the beautiful Qasim decorates the garden of Ahlul Bayt. Fardaz Markab Sarnagur in Sarra'na Mishabad. But tomorrow Qasim will fall with his face on the ground. امشب بود جای علی آغوش گرم مادرش. Tonight the mother of Ali Akbar embraces her child, her son. فردا چو گلها پیکرش پامال اعدا می شود. But tomorrow the enemies will ruin his body. امشب گرفته در میان اصحاب سار الله را. Tonight no one leaves Hussein alone. They are all gathering around Hussein. فردا عزیز فاطمه بیار و تنها می شود. But tomorrow the beloved son of Fatima will be alone. We look at right and left. He would not find any helper. امشب سر سر خدا بر دامن زینب بود. Tonight the head of Hussein is put on the lap of Zainab. فردا انیس خولی و دیر نصارا می شود. But tomorrow the head of Hussein will be taken to the house of خولی and to that Christian monk. ترسم زمین و آسمان زیر و زبر گردد زان. I am worried that tomorrow this world may come to an end. What else is going to happen? Farda esarat namaye zeynab tu ejrami jabad. Because tomorrow the lady Zainab is going to be taken as captive. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّمٌ غَلَبٌ يَنْغَلِبُونَ. Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please strengthen our knowledge and love for Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please enable us to be with them in dunya and akhirah. Please never separate us from Ahlul Bayt and Qur'an. Please make us always at the service of our Imam Zaman. Please make our Imam happy with us. Please keep us and our children, our families and community from anything which is bad and disliked. Please give shifa and healing to all people who are ill. Please send your rahmah and forgiveness to all mu'mineen who have passed away. Please give your rahmah to those who have rights upon us. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.